Other Christians, this is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
You're listening to the best of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from His mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, and with evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground. So stand fast with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the spirit of truth. To that end, be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the holy ones. That, of course, is from the very well-known chapter of Ephesians, chapter 6, the segment of that particular chapter, referred to as put on the armor of God. And Alex Jones is with us right now. Of course, he's a deacon in the Catholic Church. He's a convert to the faith, and he is going to be speaking that family of faith. Putting on the armor of God will be the title of his presentation. The location, of course, Our Lady of Good Counsel Church in Plymouth, where Father John Mercado is the pastor. And it starts at 7:30, and it's September 14th. And the question that they're going to be looking at among them, where are all the men in the church, and what can men do to protect their families? Alex, good to talk to you again.
It's good to be back with you, Teresa.
How are things?
Things are good. Going well.
You going doing a lot of traveling for the book?
As died down just a little bit, but yes, I'm still traveling. It's been like a whirlwind tour since I came into the church 7 years ago. Can you believe that?
Praise
7
God.
Years
wow.
ago.
Wow. And how do you, I mean, looking back, okay, so it's been 7 years. Do you find yourself, at least I do, and I've been a cradle Catholic all my life, and every day I still find myself learning more and more about the church. Do you find that to be true for you?
Absolutely. There's so much to know and to learn, and to be matured and deepened in other areas of faith. Once my eyes became accustomed to the light that was so bright when I first entered the church, I began to see things even more clearly. So it's a growing, it's a learning experience.
All right, let's talk about the presentation that's going to be sponsored by the Family of Faith Apostolate that will take place September 14th. It starts at 7:30 at Our Lady of Good Counsel. The theme of the evening is going to be putting on the armor of God. What will you be addressing?
Well, talking about being on the initiative, taking the initiative in our day of materialism, in our day of secular society, how not to get sucked into the things that are going on in our society, how not to be naively living in today's world, in today's, quote, modern world, but to be proactive, to put on the whole armor of God, to prepare oneself, to recognize our foes, and to deal with them, not to sit passively by and be victimized, but as Paul says in the 8th chapter of Romans, to be more than a conqueror. And we do that through Christ, which strengthens us.
You know, it's interesting. We were just talking, and I'm sure that you may have heard it, or we were chatting during the break as well, about this series that was on CNN last night about God's warriors. And in the last segment, last evening, Christian Amanpour made it sound like, you know, Christians are scary people and everybody should run because they're, you know, on the warpath. And when we quote Scripture, and if you're not into the Word of God, if you don't understand it, this may sound very intimidating, putting on the armor of God. Explain for someone who may not understand, you know, that from a Christian perspective.
Exactly. When we talk about spiritual warfare, it frightens people. They have no idea what spiritual warfare is. And when you speak of it, you come across as an extremist, as someone who is taking religion to its ultimate end of dominance and tyranny. So when we say spiritual warfare and put on the whole armor of God, people think you are an extremist. And that's how the secular society is trying to portray Christians who really believe and love their faith.
So how do we get the message across of what we're really trying to do? And that is to, you know, conquer the world through the love and the message of Christ.
Well, that's what it's all about. It's spreading the kingdom of God, which is rooted in love, justice, and peace. Everyone wants that. Those are the common commodities that humanity seeks and longs for. But we're being portrayed as religious zealots who try to put our beliefs on other people. No, we're trying to build the kingdom of God, which is rooted in love, forgiveness, acceptance, justice, and peace. Now, we have to just continue speaking on these things and insisting on these things, because in the end, that's what makes life worth living.
What are you seeing among your travels and in your audiences, Alex, in terms of the attacks on family and in particular the attacks on marriage, and how do we stand up against what's out there in the culture? I mean, obviously, when we talk about spiritual warfare and arming ourselves, we're talking about the sacraments, we're talking about the rosary. St. Padre Pio used to say, give me my weapon. He was talking about, you know, the rosary. That's what we're talking about as Christians, where we're calling on God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to help us in these battles. And, of course, as Catholics, also the intercession of the saints. But, you know, what are you seeing with people that are coming to your talks in terms of the challenges they're facing?
Well, it's the usual challenges of secularism, because in secularism, the family is, I coin a new term, desanctified. It's no longer the holy mystery or the holy sacrament. It's more or less a contract or an agreement that can be easily broken or set aside or abrogated, whatever you want to do with it. And so I see that the families in our society are dealing with this attack of materialism, and many are falling victims to the quest for wealth and the quest for economic dominance, and greed is a big factor. I was just talking to a couple just a few days ago who are working so very hard to make money so that they can get ahead, and they're doing that at the expense of loving our Lord and realizing their spiritual call to holiness. And so this is the great challenge. When you live in a society where all of these material things are placed before us as goals or signs of success, then that puts a great stress on the family to get these things, to be successful, to come across as being someone who has made it. And, of course, that erodes the spiritual values of the family.
It was an interesting report that came out earlier in August, and I had a Protestant professor from North Carolina on with me who did this study, and it was of both Protestant and Catholic brothers and sisters. And the title of the survey was called Too Busy for God. And people were so, and these were Christians, these are professed Christians in all different churches who were saying, you know what, I'm exactly what you're saying. I'm trying to keep up, I'm trying to get this done, I'm trying to make money to help my family, and I'm just too busy for God.
Absolutely, and mainly the people that more or less slide away from the faith or no longer practice their faith, they're not bad people. They're people that are overwhelmed by life itself, people that have bought into the vision of a successful marriage, successful home. It's a home that has two cars. It's a home that has a beautiful spread. It's a home that has so many investments. And they've bought into this idea, and as a result, they've become more and more insensitive to the things of the Holy Spirit.
So how do they start if they're overwhelmed, if they feel beaten down, if they're trying to just, you know, keep their heads above water, and, you know, maybe someone is going to bring a family member with them who's struggling? And what would you say to those people on September 14th, those guys that are going to be there? You know, how do you stop this madness?
You just said it. Stop. Mm-hmm. How do you stop it? First, just by listening for the voice of the Lord. And when you read in Ephesians 6, you talk about taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Really what Paul was saying is not necessarily the written Word of God, but the revealed Word of God, the working of the Holy Spirit, the rhema, the revealed direction that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. It's to listen to the voice of the Lord. Just stop and listen for the voice of the Lord. Just stop, and you will hear the voice of the Lord begin to speak to you about you. So the first thing you can do is say, hey, slow down, wait a minute, stop, and listen for the voice of God. If you remember in the morning prayers,
mm-hmm.
The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Mm-hmm. First thing to do is hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. So the first thing we do is stop and listen for the voice of the Lord.
Deacon Alex Jones, author, speaker, and he's going to be the guest speaker at Our Lady of Good Counsel Parish coming up in September, September 14th. I wanted to bring him on a couple weeks before this event because I know it's going to get crowded, and I know you want to mark this down. And this is going to be really cool because it's for all men, high school age and older. It's sponsored by the Family of Faith Apostolate, and it's Friday, September 14th. And it's at 7:30, and you really, really need to go to this. Alex is a wonderful speaker. I've had the opportunity to see him speak and hear him, of course, at the men's conference not too long ago where he just brought down the house. That was a great, great talk. And really concentrating on Ephesians 6, putting on the armor of God. Families are under attack. Marriage is under attack. Authentic manhood is under attack. Culture of life, for heaven's sakes, we know that. We talk about that a lot on this network. So come and hear Alex talk about ways you can protect your family and strengthen yourself and your own walk with the Lord. We're continuing our conversation with Deacon Alex Jones, who is a speaker and author and recently retired from the Archdiocese of Detroit, where he worked in the evangelization department. And he has a website, too, that I wanted to tell you about. So how long has the website been up and running, Alex?
About 2 months.
Great. What's the address for it if people want to find it on the Internet?
DeaconAlexCJones.com.
Well, that's easy. DeaconAlexCJones.com. Can you order your books there and things?
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
we
great.
Have a page where you can order books.
Great. And I want to ask a question that came in from the Internet from Dan with Family of Faith. He says, how can we get otherwise faithful Catholic men out of the backseat and to start helping lead their families in faith?
Well, it all begins, like I said before, with listening to the voice of the Lord, which leads us to conversion. We have to encounter the Christ before we can move from point A to point B. And so we lead them into conversion, to a new relationship, new depth and relationship with our Lord. And in doing that, then they automatically get more and more evolved.
You know, what about the wives in terms of encouraging their husbands? How do you do that without seeming like you're nagging? I mean, what would you suggest? Maybe we should get Donna on the phone this morning.
No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Now, well, I'm thinking of 1 Peter chapter 3, when it tells wives that if your husbands are not up to stuff spiritually, let your lives demonstrate goodness and faith. Not with, St. Peter says, not with nagging or with trying to physically attract him to the faith, but by the possession of a very gentle, a very quiet spirit, a very meek spirit, a spirit that seemingly is tranquil and in touch with the living God, and just living out your faith before your mate in kindness and in gentleness. And that will do more for him than leaving flyers under his pillow or notes in his lunch pail or whatever.
You know, it was interesting. I spoke at a marriage conference. Dominic and I gave our testimony, and Dr. Ray Grendy was there, and he was talking about this, and it was for Marriage Encounter for their national conference, which is in Ohio late last month. And he gave such a beautiful talk. He was saying that if you want your spouse to change, then you change. You know,
absolutely.
If you want your spouse to be attracted to your faith, then you have to really live it. And if you are truly a Christian, you are going to be the one who's going to be doing more of the submitting and, you know, having the more humble attitude. He says, you have to change. And then that spirit of change and that spirit of beauty and grace that comes from Christ is going to affect the other person.
And that's in any relationship. I've had so many people ask me, how do I win my daughter back to the faith who walked away from the church? How do I win my son back? How do I win my husband back? How do I win my wife back? And I ask them a question, do you want to change? Are you ready to change? If you're not ready to change, forget it.
And doesn't Jesus say in Scripture, I think it's in Matthew, that before you point to the speck in your brother's eye, pull the plank from your own eye?
You got it.
I always thought that was interesting. I went over that verse when I heard that. I think it was Dr. Ray, not this particular time, but another time someone else said it. And I said, you know, the difference in when Jesus is saying the speck in your brother's eye and the plank in your own. In other words, making us look at ourselves and our own problems first and our issues before we go after and try to, you know, improve someone or change someone else.
Usually because when we look at the speck that's in our brother's eye, we're looking for criticism and for judgment.
Mm.
When we look at the plank that's in our eyes, it's so close, it looks so large, we can see really how bad it is.
Yeah. And how we are so blessed to have the grace and the mercy of God. All right, let's talk a little bit about what you've been doing now. You said that slowed down a little bit. The summer, you know, came, and now that fall is picking up, what's I know you've got this speaking engagement on the 14th. What else are you going to be doing come the fall?
Well, a lot of the work will be out of the city. I have a mission in Flint in September 22nd, 23rd, which seems to be a pretty interesting mission because it's an ecumenical mission. It's going to be held at Church of the Redeemer, Holy Redeemer in Flint, and but participants are coming from different churches. In fact, some of the choirs are coming from Protestant churches.
Great.
So, I'm looking forward to this. I have a really good feeling about this. It's going to be very good. And then I'm giving a mission at or a presentation at the Church of the Madonna on Oakland Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
On October, let's say that's October the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And I'll be talking about evangelization. I'll be talking about why Catholics leave the faith, how to win them back, and the call to conversion, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in the church today.
Well, let's get you back on, Alex, when we get closer, especially to that mission in Flint, because we have a lot of listeners in that area, you know, who listen on our Saginaw station. So we'd love to get you back on to talk about that.
I really have a good feeling about it, Teresa, and the guy Tim Allen that's organizing it. We keep in close contact, and it's really sounding like it's going to be some event. I'm really looking forward to it.
Great. Well, tell Donna that we said hello, and thanks, Alex, for all that you do for the church. And again, give us your website. It's DeaconAlexCJones.com.
Yeah, you got to say Alex C. Jones.
Okay.
If you see Deacon Alex Jones, you might not get it. And if you say Deacon Jones, you get the football player.
DeaconAlexCJones.com. By the way, great job on the journey home with Tim Staples, where you did that roundtable discussion.
Yeah, well, thank you.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Thought it was. I love that program anyway, but that was just a really good discussion. And I love the way you talked about how you appreciate your Protestant background and what it gave you in terms of coming into the church. I thought that was great. And I thought that what a good thing for our Protestant brothers and sisters to see and to hear if they were watching.
Planning is half the fun of vacations, party, and other special events. However, planning a funeral is rarely at the top of anyone's list. Even though you may not want to think about it, R.J. Nixon Funeral Home in Wyandotte encourages you to consider this. Advanced planning of your funeral saves your family and loved ones from fear during an already stressful time. Plus, advanced planning allows you to have a choice in how your funeral service is handled. R.J. Nixon Funeral Home is known for generations of caring. An active member of the community. That means you can rest assured your family will be treated with the utmost respect and your wishes will be uniquely honored by people who truly care about the well-being of the survivors. Make the choice to have a choice. Advance plan your funeral today. R.J. Nixon Funeral Home in Wyandotte, offering personalized funeral planning at the time of need or in advance, with their tradition of compassion, dignity, and value. To serve your needs, call 734-284-1600. Office Express has been in business for 20 years, talking about the things that matter most in an office. And they want to salute Al Cresta, who's been on the air for 20 years, talking about the things that matter most on the radio. Congratulations on 2 decades of communicating our faith. And remember, communicating the benefits of your organization can be done cost-effectively at Office Express. If you want to get the most out of your printing budget, call Office Express. They have more than just office supplies and furniture. They have on-staff graphic designers and a full service printing department, not just copiers. They'll help you communicate the message you want to your potential customers to hear. Please support our advertisers. Remember, we all have to stick together. Office Express loves how Al Cresta communicates our faith. Let Office Express help you communicate your message. At Office Express, they get it done. For more information, call 877-795-2600. That's 877-795-2600. You can also visit them online at officeexpressnow.com.
You're listening to the best of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It's a Tuesday morning. It is August 28th, 2007, the Feast of St. Augustine. I love that quote. My heart does not rest, O Lord, until it rests in thee. John Paul II also said something similar. You don't find yourself until you lose yourself in Christ. Think about that. Talk about total submission and understanding that we are all instruments to be used, to use our gifts to make a difference in the world, which is what Catholic Relief Services is. And considering that we are looking at this week, and I know that CRS works more out of the country in terms of international efforts, but I know they also helped in Katrina 2 years ago, and it's very interesting that we're talking about this particular topic. We're looking at the encyclical of our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, his first encyclical, God is Love, and how it pertains, really, to the work of wonderful agencies like Catholic Relief Services. On the phone with me is Michael Weiss. Michael, good to have you on the program.
Thank you very much, Teresa. Nice to be here.
All right, so let's take a look, a different look at this encyclical. How does this apply to your type of work?
Well, at Catholic Relief Service, it's interesting that you started with a quote by St. Augustine, because part two of Deus Caritas Est, God is Love, starts with a quote by St. Augustine. And it says, if you see charity, you see the Trinity. And so even at the beginning, the encyclical provides us as a Catholic agency with sort of the theological underpinnings for how we ought to see ourselves. But in the overall, at Catholic Relief Services, we really see this encyclical, Deus Caritas Est, as a tremendous gift to our agency. I can't overstate how much it informs our work and how useful it is in guiding our discussions all the way from the board of directors level with our bishops down to the people in Africa and in Latin America and in Asia who are carrying out our programs. It's a tremendous boost to our work.
Now, why talk about this now? The encyclical has been out for quite a while, but is this something that constantly inspires you and motivates you in terms of applying this to your work?
It really is. It inspires us in many ways. First of all, in the United States, for a number of years now, we've been trying to be of greater service to the individual Catholic in the United States and helping him or her to live her faith in solidarity with the poor of the world. And the first part of the encyclical, or this part two, called Charity as a Responsibility of mm-hmm. the Church, really gives us a boost, because the Holy Father says that the Church's deepest nature is expressed in charity, that it's expressed in the threefold responsibility of proclaiming the Word of God, of celebrating the sacraments, and of exercising the ministry of charity. He says the Church cannot neglect the service of charity any more than she can neglect the sacraments and the words. So that really inspires us in the U.S. to reach out to the American Catholic and the parishes, to invite them to be part of this program put in place by the bishops of the United States way back in 1943, at the time of World War II. And overseas, even more so, it presents a tremendous focus. One of the things it does is it helps to distinguish Catholic agencies like Catholic Relief Services from those good secular organizations like CARE or Save the Children, in saying that the distinguishing characteristic of our aid, of our charitable activity, is the fact that it is so totally imbued with heartfelt concern and with love. And making the point, the Holy Father says that our workers need to be professionally competent. They have to be properly trained.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they need to pray, and they need to ensure that they have a formation of the heart and that all of their charitable efforts are imbued with a profound Christian love. And this idea really is transformative in that it not only affects how we carry out our programs through local church agencies, but to a certain degree it helps us choose in a limited world of possibilities where we are going to work. We do think about how a Catholic agency can express the love of our Catholic constituency in the United States as one of the considerations of where we want to work. And for those places where, for whatever political reason, that is not possible, we might say to ourselves that it is just as good in this case that a secular organization that focuses simply on economic return on investment or those kind of
mm-hmm.
ideas, let them move in those places. But we focus on this Catholic, this Christian center of our activities, which is the love of Christ in everything we do.
You know, it's interesting. The Holy Father also talked about this, not his encyclical, but about, you know, putting your faith into action. He was basing it, of course, on the narrow gate gospel that we had over the weekend, the gospel weekend for the Mass on Sunday. And in his address after the Angelus at Castel Gandolfo, he talked about having a passport stamped? Is your passport stamped for heaven? And he talked about, you know, how are you working out your faith, you know, in fear and trembling, as it says in Philippians 2:12. Well, that's what we have to do. We have to put our faith into action. And if we don't have, as it says in this encyclical, love of neighbor, grounded in love, then the faith is meaningless.
Yes, the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, has really held on to this particular idea of Christian charity and this expression of love as being part of our identity, part of our faith identity, and has manifested itself in many ways. Recently, I was in Rome as part of Caritas Internationalis, which is the confederation of all the major official Catholic agencies in the world associated with charity. And the Holy Father received us and addressed us and spoke specifically about these ideas, about the necessity of love, Christian love, which is informed and inspired by our prayer life as being at the center of our charitable work. A tremendous boost to the agency.
I just had a quick question. Something just popped into my head. As someone who works in areas that are so depressed and so sad and so devastated, what keeps you going in this kind of work?
That's a good question. Actually, I lived and worked, for 20 years in Africa myself with my family. And when I started with Catholic Relief Services many years ago, my real motivation was to go to Africa. It was not part of the fact that I was born and raised a Catholic. But during those the years of my 20 years overseas, I really saw the tremendous capabilities of the Church in expressing the love of Christ to those who are suffering. The thing that I think keeps me going in difficult situations, and which is a challenge for our work, is sometimes people become discouraged and lose faith. And again, in the Deus Caritas Est, the Holy Father references Blessed Mother Teresa in this regard, and the unique way in which her expression of love was based on her prayer life, and it helped her, and she really manifested, to develop a sense of humility that we, in carrying out our charitable love, cannot expect to solve all of the problems of the world, that we have to do the best we can, and most importantly, we have to express our love in carrying it out. But that's a very important thing, because sometimes as Americans, when our people work overseas, we have this expectation that we can fix anything.
Right.
And that certainly isn't the case. And Deus Caritas Est speaks to this concern of so many of our people, and especially by using Mother Teresa, Blessed Mother Teresa, as a model, because so many of our people knew Mother Teresa and worked with her. Catholic Relief Services actually helped Mother to start her programs when she founded the Missionaries of Charity in Calcutta back in the 1950s, and we've been close to the Missionaries of Charity ever since. So I would say prayer and developing this sense of Christian humility is at the center of being able to endure when things get difficult and when we have a tendency to question the effectiveness of the works of charity that we're carrying out.
And I know on the homepage of your website, you're still in need of items and help for the victims in Peru. How is that going?
The Peru program is going very well. Actually, we got a much larger response on Peru than we expected, and you might say a much less response on South Asia, the floods that are happening in that part of the world, than we had expected. The big advantage that we have in Peru is that the local church agency called Caritas Peru is probably our strongest Catholic agency partner in Latin America. So in responding to those who are suffering and not only responding effectively again, but because it is a church partner, this sense of this expression of love is present for those who are suffering. The local church, the Peruvian church, is able to reach out to thousands of people who are suffering. And it's because we've been there for so many decades, our partnership with the church and with Caritas Peru is very close. So the programs are going well. People continue to suffer, and we're very grateful for the outpouring of concern and compassion of the American Catholic community.
Is it frustrating for you? I imagine it would be frustrating but maybe a little bit more understandable in third world countries that aren't as well developed as the U.S., but is it frustrating when you have a situation? I know that you did help in Katrina this year. This week we're looking at the two-year anniversary. I've talked to many people who have been there recently. I was at a retreat over the weekend, and the daughter of one of the couples that we were with said that her daughter went down there as part of a school project. And this was just this summer, and it was still so devastating in so many parts of the Gulf Coast. Is that frustrating for you when you see in the wealthy countries that they have the opportunity to really make a difference where it takes a little bit longer, or do you just, you know, keep on keeping on and just put your, you know, the, just keep focus and keep moving in your work?
This is an important issue, and it's actually one that's being discussed by the Catholic bishops of the United States. Around Katrina, what happened in Katrina. Because we have seen, if you compare it, for example, to the response in the tsunami, the ability of Catholic Relief Services and other Catholic agencies to respond quickly and effectively, especially where there's a local church infrastructure, sort of like in India, was, frankly, far superior to the ability of the American people and American private agencies and the United States government to respond in Katrina. So there's an awful lot of soul-searching going on. What is wrong here in our country that we can't help those more effectively that are suffering from Katrina? And even within the church, Catholic Charities USA is more a membership organization of individual Catholic charities at the diocesan level. So you might say that the emergency response capacity of our church in the United States is not as nationwide as might be the case, for example, in a poorer country like India, even where the Catholic population is a small percentage, where the national structure of Caritas India is tremendously competent in responding to typhoons and emergencies and things like that. So the bishops are struggling with this. Catholic Charities USA did a terrific job in handling the contributions and coordinating a lot of the efforts. But there is the question, should we as a church be able to do more in the United States? Catholic Relief Services, our mandate from the bishops is really 100% overseas. We were requested to provide a certain amount of technical assistance in regard to Katrina, but traditionally that's not our mandate given to us by the bishops. That's Catholic Charities at the diocesan level with the support of Catholic Charities USA out of Washington, D.C. or Alexandria, Virginia.
So, Michael, in closing in our interview this morning, would you recommend that people revisit God is Love, this beautiful encyclical by our Holy Father, and look at it in terms of what they can do in their own communities to make a difference through charitable works?
Absolutely, Teresa. And like I said, Catholic Relief Services, and oftentimes in cooperation with the various Catholic Charities and Catholic Charities USA, is working very hard to try to make charitable giving a fuller part of the life of every parish and of every church-going Catholic in the United States. And reading Deus Caritas Est is a wonderful place to start, or in some of the church groups or the justice and peace groups, to have a discussion around it. It makes it so unequivocal that part of being a Catholic is caring about our brothers and sisters both locally and around the world. I couldn't recommend it more highly. And it also, it's a great read. It's not a difficult, dense encyclical. It's a very enjoyable read. It's very prayerful. It closes with a prayer to the Holy Mother, asking Jesus to lead us to Him, teach us to know and love Him, so that we too can become capable of true love and be fountains of living water in the midst of a thirsting world. It's a beautiful read, as well as being tremendously profound.
Michael, great insight on this. Thanks so much. I never thought of it that way, and it makes me want to go back and reread it. And I just want to close with this little segment from God is Love. And by the way, if you haven't read that encyclical, just put in God is Love in quotes, and it'll come up, or you can go to Vatican.va. Michael Wiest is with the Catholic Relief Services. The website, by the way, crs.org. If maybe you'd like to find out more or donate or find out about how you can do something for CRS, crs.org is the website. Our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, said, love of neighbor, grounded in the love of God, is first and foremost a responsibility for each individual member of the faithful, but it is also a responsibility for the entire ecclesial community at every level, from the local community to the particular church, and to the church universal in its entirety. That is a segment from part two of that beautiful encyclical, God is Love. Michael, thanks so much, and God bless you for the work you continue to do at CRS.
Thanks, Teresa, and God bless you.
You too. Again, the website is crs.org. We'll be right back.
God bless my mommy, and my daddy, and my little turtle, Pokey, my hamster, Rudy.
Every night in their evening prayers, children ask God to bless the ones they love, including their four-legged friends.
Bless my kitty, Pepper, and my doggy, Buster, and my other doggy, Duke.
Why not actually have their pets blessed? On Sunday, September 30th from 2 to 4, Walled Lake Veterinary Hospital will be hosting a pet blessing. It's something many Catholic churches across the world do to celebrate the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of animals. The service will be held at Walled Lake Veterinary Hospital on East West Maple, followed by a social with free cider and donuts, free treats for your pets, and free St. Francis pet medals while supplies last. It will be great fun, so why not join us? Bring your family, friends, and of course your pets. For more information, call 248-624-4829. That's 248-624-4829. Pets must be on leashes. The housing market is tricky right now, and it can be really tough if you're trying to sell a home. So why not make sure you love where you're living while investing in it for the future? With new carpet from Independent Carpet One. At Independent Carpet One, they don't just want to sell you something. They want to sell you the right thing at the right price. After all, you don't just have a house, you have a home. And they have the perfect carpet for your home. Like Lee's Carpet, designed for families with kids and dogs and active lifestyles. And the 25-year no-exclusion stain warranty is transferable to the next owner. Independent Carpet One is family-owned and community-oriented, and their family wants to help your family find exactly what you need to love the home you have. Find out more only at Independent Carpet One Floor and Home, the one store for your perfect floor. Call them today at 734-729-6200. That's 734-729-6200.
His father organized the first Lutheran Synod in the United States in 1748, and after a short career and a brief time spent in the British Army, he followed his father's footsteps into the ministry. He was ordained and served as pastor of churches in both New Jersey and Virginia. When the Revolutionary War began, General George Washington recognized the man's military skills, asking him to raise and lead a regiment of German soldiers. His ability to organize and lead men in battle made him a key figure in the American Revolution. Known as the Fighting Parson, General John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg was instrumental in helping America gain its independence from England. His leadership in the cause of freedom makes Peter Muhlenberg today's American inspiration. You too can be an American inspiration in this simple way. Join the Presidential Prayer Team today at www.presidentialprayerteam.org or call 1-800-295-1235.
You're listening to the best of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
And I'll never leave you. I'm breathing your love. I'm running to the shadows like a fire in a meadow. So goes my heart. I'm thirsting for you. My song is my word.
8:37, gorgeous Thursday morning, about 68 degrees out there. Dr. Dan Green and I were laughing during the break because he's speaking with Father Tad next week, and he was looking at Father Tad's bio, and we're laughing because we're thinking, how in the world, you know, and me, I'm speaking with Sister Prudence next week at the Endow Conference, and both Father Tad and Sister Prudence have, like, I don't know how many degrees, and we're like, okay, how did we end up on the same agenda with them? But not surprised that Dr. Dan has, because he's an experienced pro-life doctor specializing in women's health care and NFP, and he is associated with Crittenton Hospital, and he is located in the Rochester area. But it's just very humbling when you get to meet people like Father Tad Poholchek. And Dr. Dan, you've never met Father Tad, have you?
No, I've never met him, but I've heard him speak on several occasions, and he's just a tremendous ethicist and theologian and scientist. And I think that his presentation that he's going to be doing on stem cells and whether there should even be a debate about stem cells, the title is talking about Stem Cells Save Lives, What's the Debate? Well, mm-hmm. He's going to present both sides of the issue, and clearly his philosophy is such that the stem cells, we don't need embryonic stem cell research.
And you will be debating, not debating, but you'll be speaking with him that day, that's for Nurses for Life, that's next Saturday,
right.
And then you're also speaking Friday the 7th at Sacred Heart in Auburn Hills.
Right, and that's another topic. At Sacred Heart of the Hills, they have a wonderful program they put together, and they're beginning this fall, where Father Jim Mayworm has invited myself and my colleague John Naprakasi to come and do a presentation on the theology of the body and natural family planning, and then that's going to lead into natural family planning classes. They have a teacher that's going to come and teach a series of classes at Sacred Heart in September as well. So it's a very good and exciting project.
Now, what kind of things are you seeing, Dan, in terms of the information getting out there about NFP? Because for years, you know, we heard nothing about it. At least, you know, I've been married almost 24 years, and when we first got married in the church, there was very, even though the teachings were there, there was very little information about it.
Yeah, the word is getting out slowly but steadily. I don't see it in any sense at this point taking off, but the use of NFP in the last decade or so has definitely increased statistically. I mean, we're still at pretty low numbers amongst Catholics. I think that the last statistic I saw is that still only about 4% of Catholics utilize NFP. And when you look at the number of Catholics that are out there, that's kind of a surprising statistic. And to me, it's surprising because of how passionate I am about how great natural family planning is from a medical standpoint, from a health standpoint, from a societal and marital standpoint. They're all these pluses that stack up when you look at what it is and how it's done. So it amazes me sometimes that it is as underutilized as it is. But as far as getting the word out, that's what we're trying to do, because my point on this ever since I've been promoting this is that the issue is awareness. I think that if people really know what natural family planning is, what it can do, and how to do it, they're going to embrace it because it is, as I said a moment ago, all these positives. There's really not a downside to it.
What are women telling you who are coming to their office? Why are they seeking out pro-life doctors, do you think?
I think because they have a passion for supporting pro-life causes. A lot of people vote with their feet, so to speak. You know, you don't shop at stores that sell objectionable materials. And so they want to come and support the doctors that are like-minded and that are going to embrace the culture of life, because they want to send a message that this is important and this matters to us, and we're going to try to make this a bigger issue for people so that more people develop awareness and will come to understand what this issue means and how important it is.
Now, so you're talking about NFP on Friday, and on Saturday you're talking about the HPV vaccine. In terms of the vaccine, awareness and information is important with that as well, I think, because people just hear in the news, and they have this. Have you seen the commercials they have out now?
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the things that I think is really important to realize, is that to claim that this vaccine prevents cervical cancer is a stretch at this point. It may. Okay, but with the amount of studies that we have done, there's no evidence at this point that it truly prevents cancer, because what it does is it prevents infection with the human papillomavirus, or HPV. And the thing about that is the studies that they've done are only 4 years long. Well, the development of cervical cancer from the infection time to the point where we're seeing invasive lesions averages anywhere from 8 to 20 years. So is that as plain as it sounds to me?
Mm-hmm.
There's really not the data there to connect the dots. So what we're doing is we're assuming, we're making assumptions with respect to what this vaccine is going to do. And, yes, it does look promising. But as we know in medical research, things can look promising and we can make assumptions, but those don't necessarily translate into results.
What do you hope people walk away with? First, let's go to the talk Friday night at Sacred Heart in Auburn Hills on NFP. What do you hope people walk away with on Friday night? And this is open to the public, correct?
Yeah, it's open to the general public. There's no admission charge. It's in the social hall there at Sacred Heart on Auburn Road, on Adams Road in Auburn Hills. What I hope people take away from it is a twofold message. First of all, the first talk, as I said, is on the theology of the body, and this ties in a little bit with the article you were referring to earlier, that married men help out less around the house. Now, when you look at the theology of the body and how that translates into not just our sex lives, but our relationships in general, you know, the theology of the body is going to promote good marriages. It's going to promote respect and a healthy sexuality and an approach to human sexual relations that's healthy and godly and going to strengthen relationships in marriage. And so in that sense, I think the message there is, if you learn about the theology of the body, because it's not this theological construct from this genius John Paul II that none of us can understand, it's definitely, it's nuts and bolts kind of things. It's very applicable to our marriages and to our lives. And so if one understands it, you can apply it, and your life's going to be better for it. No surprise.
Right.
So that's the message from the theology of the body, is just coming to look at what it is and seeing how it can improve your life. And this, I guess it's really the same message with natural family planning. The twofold message that's with that is, one, natural family planning is good. It works very, very well. It's not, because I hear that question all the time, Dr. Green, I'd love to use natural family planning, but I want something that works.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, it's just as effective, if not more effective when done properly, as contemporary birth control products. So one is that it works, and then the other thing is that it's doable. We can do this. It's easy to do. We can, if you learn how to do it and you apply it appropriately, it's going to work. And it also enhances the marriage, too. Again, working on the communication level, working on the intimacy level. And then as a healthcare provider, of course, the most important thing coming out of this is you don't incur any risk when you use natural family planning. You're not putting yourself at risk for the complications that you see with some of the contemporary birth control products like the birth control pill or the IUD or the patch or tubal sterilization or vasectomy.
All right, good information, Dr. Hang on, we're going to take a break and we come back. Talk more with Dr. Dan Green. He's a pro-life doctor specializing in women's health care, NFP, and he's also associated with Crittenton Hospital. If you have a question for Dr. Dan, he'll be giving two talks in the next week, Friday at 7 o'clock at Auburn Hills on NFP, and it's open to the public. There's no charge. That's at Sacred Heart of Auburn Hills. That's next Friday, a week from tomorrow. And that's at 7 o'clock, all right? So probably get there early because I'm sure it's going to be crowded. It is open to the parish as well as to the public. And then Saturday, he'll be presenting at the Nurses for Life event with Father Tad Boholczyk. That is also open to the public, but there is a cost for that. And again, Father Tad will be talking about stem cells. And then on Saturday, Dr. Dan Green will be talking about HPV vaccine. Here's a number for Nurses for Life if you want more information, 248-816-8489. Again, it's 248-816-8489, and it is open to the public, and I know they got some calls a couple weeks ago when we had Father Tad on, so give them a call. You can still register, 248-816-8489. If you're interested in NFP, Theology of the Body, go to the event Friday night at Sacred Heart of Auburn Hills. That's Friday at 7 o'clock, September 7th, and Saturday, September 8th, is Nurses for Life. It's Catholic Connection. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Nick Tom from Cresta in the Afternoon, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about my recent experience with Ken Town at Fellowship Home Lending. As first-time homebuyers, my wife and I were nervous and unsure going into the process, but it wasn't long before Ken had us really at ease. He took the time to become invested in us as people and really get to know our particular situation. Ken presented us with a number of different mortgage options that all addressed our needs in a particular way. By the time we made it to the closing table, we felt educated, secure, and confident that we had gotten the best product available. You see, at Fellowship Home Lending, there was no pressure, no attempt to bump us up over what we could afford. Just a staff that genuinely cared about what was best for us and delivered. So whether it's a first mortgage, refinance, debt consolidation, or home equity loan you need, call Ken at Fellowship Home Lending. Give him a call today, 1-800-660-6433. Once again, that's 800-660-6433. Fellowship Home Lending, where the motto, lend to your neighbor as yourself, is not just catchy words, but a way that they do business.
Be good to your teeth or they'll go away. Twice a year, you owe it to yourself to get a checkup because you were only given one set of teeth to work with. After that, it's too late to say, I should have cared for them better. Turn to Him Family Dentistry for caring, compassionate, comprehensive care. Now announcing a second location in Livonia for Him Family Dentistry. Dr. William Him, with 30 years of dental experience, has a new partner in dentistry, his daughter Rebecca Him. Dr. Him is a family man who loves watching your family grow too. He treats all his patients as individuals as he cares for each new generation of smiles. Maybe that's why he has friends coming from around the state for dental care. You want the best for your family? Join the growing family of healthy smiles at Him Family Dentistry. Call for your checkup today, 734-421-0121. Call 734-421-0121. And smile. It improves your face value.
Hi, this is Michael, Danny, and Patrick. You are listening to our Aunt Teresa on Catholic Connection.
You're listening to the best of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Really nice out there. Sunny skies. It's about 68 degrees right now. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be 78, 80 degrees, and it's going to be just great, they're saying, for the whole weekend. So get out there and enjoy it. Also, get yourself to one of two talks, or both, depending on what your topic of interest is. Friday night at Sacred Heart, next Friday, 1 week from tomorrow, that's September 7th. Sacred Heart Parish of Auburn Hills on Auburn Road will be hosting a very great evening of information regarding theology of the body and NFP. One of the speaker on NFP, will be our guest, Dr. Dan Green. He's a pro-life doctor specializing in women's health issues and also, of course, teaching NFP, and he is associated with Crittenden Hospital. And then on Saturday, September 8th, he will also be speaking, this time on the HPV vaccine. He'll be speaking with Father Ted Boholcek. And they'll be speaking for the Nurses for Life Fall Seminar. The number for that is 248-816-8489. And you can call the office for information. There is a cost to the Saturday event, and it is free and open to the public on Friday night. Dan, one of the things I wanted to talk about with you is I know some folks who are devout, pro-life, never use birth control, have used NFP their whole married lives. But my friend who has some medical problems has said that it's not all that easy as some people claim. Now, for her, it might be a little bit different because she does have medical issues, but she says she wants people to know that there can be challenges with NFP and that they need to have plans. And she's a very educated woman, and she's a stay-at-home mom now, but she says they need to have an understanding and to tell people that there also can be some challenges with this, because just to sit there and say, and I'm not saying that's what you're saying, but just to sit there and say, oh, this is great, this is easy, everything will be wonderful, may not necessarily be the case for everyone, and there has to be a sense of realism in this, too. I just was wondering if you could respond to that.
That's a very good question and a very valid point. With natural family planning, I think one of the things that's important is there is a little bit of a learning curve, and that's one of the things that will put people off, too, because in the initial stages of learning for it, some couples need to abstain for a while to learn how to do it, and others, they get it right away, and they're good to go. So it just depends on where you are with your health, with your cycles, and who your teacher is. But as far as when there's serious health issues where one has to be very, very careful about becoming pregnant or truly avoiding pregnancy altogether because it's going to be a life-threatening issue.
Yeah, that's the case with my friend, yeah.
Yeah, that has to be taken seriously, too. The fact that what I tell my patients that are in that situation is that they need to be very careful about how they're doing it. They need to work very closely with their teacher, okay? Some couples go and they see their teacher, they take a four-week class, and they learn how to do it, and then they're done. Others need more follow-up than that. They're going to need a closer surveillance by either an NFP teacher or by a physician or a nurse practitioner who's familiar with NFP. And in doing so, you know, watching those charts, you can come up with a pattern of looking at that of those charts so as to afford the protection against pregnancy, so to speak, that people are looking for in that particular situation. In other words, if you learn the method and do it properly and you're compulsive about it, it's going to still work. It may take more effort, and it may take even further medical evaluations. Like you said, your friend, for example, has other complicating medical factors. Well, number one on the list there, then, of course, is making sure that those medical considerations are looked after very closely and that they're stable and they're not going to interfere with her ovulatory patterns so as to create atypical cycles that are difficult to monitor.
Is everybody different in these types of situations?
Yeah, I think that you do have to individualize it for everybody. It's the average woman, you're going to see just what you'd see in a textbook, an average biphasic chart, meaning there's a rise in temperature after ovulation, and you see some changes in the body's functions leading up to ovulation, and those are very characteristic, and most women can get to identify those. But there's a minority of patients where you really have to watch closely and rely perhaps on one sign more than another. And then the other thing I would add is that in patients, there's many different ways to do natural family planning. There's at least four or five methods that I'm familiar with that I really have confidence in, and there's some methods that provide women more reassurance than others. In other words, there's some methods that you just check cervical secretions, and that's it. Mm-hmm. There's others where you do a number of things. You check the position of the cervix, you check your temperature, and you check secretions. And there's other things that you can add to those. So I think that if you're comfortable with just checking one sign and that you've got a good record of doing that, well, then it's safe to stay with that, and you're going to have good success. But if you don't or you're not comfortable with that, there's other things you can add to it. And one technique particularly, it was come up with by the Pope Paul VI Institute in Nebraska,
right,
is
mm-hmm.
called the Creighton Model of Fertility Care. And that's a very, very good system for women who have medical disorders that create some variability in their cycles. And we're very fortunate. We have in this area, there's a nurse practitioner named Mary Benash down in Dearborn. and she's trained in this method. And I've sent several patients to her to learn how to use the Creighton model.
So you have some information for the folks next Friday at Auburn Hills if they want more information on NFP?
I'm going to have a table full of information so everybody can learn everything that they want and need to know.
Great. Dan, thanks so much. God bless you for your work. I know your testimony is amazing. We had you give your testimony a while back. We have to have you share that again. You're going to be sharing a little bit of that on Friday?
If there's time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, it's wonderful for you to do that, even just to kind of throw just a little bit in there in terms of, you know, what you've learned and why you came over from the dark side like I did.
That's right. You know, and I tell people, hey, if God can turn my heart, he can turn anybody's
heart. That's my line. You can't take that. Hey, Dan, good to talk to you. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Thanks for doing this. You have two talks coming up, and you need to get to at least one of them. Friday night, Sacred Heart, 7 o'clock. It's in Auburn Hills. He'll be addressing NFP. Then on Saturday, speaking for the Nurses for Life on the HPV vaccine, along with the one, the only, Father Ted Poholchek, who's also an amazing speaker. Here's the phone number for Saturday, 248-816-8489. This number is for the Nurses for Life event on Saturday at 248-816-8489. And they'll call. If you call them, they'll give you the information. My friend Diane Trombley, of course, with Lifespan and Nurses for Life will probably be answering the phone there. It's going to be a great conference. And again, Saturday, if you're more interested in the NFP issue, or Friday night, I should say, Auburn Hills, Sacred Heart Parish, NFP and Theology of the Body. So two great talks featuring Dan Green, Dr. Dan Green. And Dan, God bless you, my friend, and we will have you back on the show soon.
Thank you, Teresa. God bless you.
Take care. Dr. Dan Green, again, is based in the Rochester area. He's a pro-life doctor specializing in women's health issues and NFP associated with Crittenton Hospital. All right, coming up in our national hour, Dr. Joel Brin, talking about another great pro-life doctor. He's going to be on with us talking about that study that came out back in the middle of August, about 10 days ago, actually, talking about how the abortion pill, oh, it's perfectly safe. Don't even worry about it. Won't have any effect on future pregnancies. That's what the media have been saying and touting. So what's the truth behind the media hype? Dr. Joel Brin will get down to the heart of that matter in our next hour. So make sure you don't miss the hour. It's coming up right after we pay some bills. And if you have a question for any of our guests this morning, of course, the phone number is 877-573-7825. We will be right back.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506. Drive and fly this summer with Michigan Catholic Credit Union. MCCU has everything you need for your car loan package. Start by choosing one of the many loan options. There's MCCU's Driving Sense program, which is a better alternative to leasing. Or you can borrow for a new, used, and classic car with terms up to 84 months. Next include one or all of our insurance options. GAP, Mechanical Breakdown Insurance, Credit Life, and Disability Insurance. Then lastly, MCCU members are eligible for a special group discount on auto insurance. If you act now, you can either choose scorecard bonus points or your MCCU visa or a companion airline ticket. Get ready to drive and fly at MCCU. It's easy. Apply online at mishcatcu.org or call 1-866-NOW-MCCU. Some restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo encouraging you to join me and Monsignor Michael Bulgarin and Father Charlie Fox on a pilgrimage to Ireland in August of 2008. You'll be inspired by daily mass at holy sites and given a true Irish education during your 10-day tour. And this trip includes airfare from Detroit, 8 nights accommodations in Ireland, and luxury coach for all sightseeing and touring. Travel the Emerald Isle with